Shake the hands of three people by your side and welcome them to this service. And then you might be seated. Hallelujah. Anybody ready to acquire the fire? Say amen. Amen. You are excited to be here and you are ready to acquire some fire? Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'd like us to open our Bible to the book of 2 Kings. Brennan Tia, you are welcome. 2 Kings chapter 1. Verse 9, the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50, and he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of an hill. And he spake unto him, Thou man of God, the king had said, Come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, If I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. Lord bless his word in Jesus' name. Today, under the subject of acquire the fire, we are looking at the characteristics of the man of fire. The man, the woman that has the fire of God has a character. The characteristics of the man, of the woman of fire. When you look at Elijah, the man of fire, there are certain things you see in his life. Yesterday, the first character we saw with Elijah was that he was tireless, passionate, fervent, and enthusiastic. Tireless, passionate, fervent, enthusiastic. Tireless, passionate, fervent, enthusiastic. The man on fire does not look for external motivation. Yesterday we said, when you have come to a point where you are beginning to look for external encouragement, you are in need of fire. You are in need of the fire of the Holy Ghost. The man on fire, the prophet on fire, the minister on fire, does not look for external encouragement. He is auto-motivated. He is auto-encouraged. Yesterday we also said that the man of fire does not over-celebrate yesterday. He does not over-celebrate yesterday. He has the capacity to rapidly move beyond yesterday's victory. Because he knows that the best is still ahead. He knows that he has not preached his best message. He knows he has not yet seen his most outstanding miracle. He knows he has not yet seen outstanding results. The man on fire, the woman on fire, rapidly passes beyond yesterday's victory because of what is ahead. We said also along with that, that he does not have the capacity to pack. A man, the woman on fire, does not have the capacity to pack. Pack behind failures, pack behind mistakes, pack behind defeats, or pack behind victories. He doesn't park. No parking. He may have made mistakes in time past, but no parking. He may have failed, but no parking. He may have succeeded, yet no parking. He may have seen some victories, no parking. We said also that a man and the woman of God on fire is a stranger to discourage. He doesn't know how to give up. Does not accept defeat. It's not ready to accept defeat. And that was where we stopped yesterday. And that was the first point as far as the character of the man of fire is concerned. The second characteristic of the Elijah kind of person, the man of fire, number two, is that he is a fearless risk taker. One way to know that a man carries the fire of God in his bosom is that he is a fearless risk taker. A fearless risk taker. The man of God, the woman of God on fire, literally confronts what others avoid. He literally confronts what others avoid. He is a fearless risk taker. The man of God on fire, the prophet on fire, speaks about what others are silent about. He has the capacity to speak on what people are silent about. If you remember in Israel, Elijah told God, he said, there are thousands of prophets and they seek only my life. And God, no, he said, I'm the only prophet left and they seek only my life. And God said, no, there are 7,000 other prophets that have not bowed their knee to the Baal, which means that they were prophets, but they had no audacity to do what Elijah was doing. So when you see a man on fire, there is one way to know. People are afraid for him, but he's not afraid for himself. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? People are afraid for him, but he's not afraid for himself. There are steps he takes that shakes others, but he's unshaken. The man on fire is a risk taker. When you are at the point in your life when you are afraid to take risks and make moves, then you are at the point where you need fresh fire in your life, in your ministry. When you are at the point in your life and ministry when you are afraid to dare things and you are afraid to take risks, then you are at the point where you are in need of fire. Someone say amen. Fresh fire makes a man to face what others fear. Actually, I'm going to say this and it may look somehow, but that is the truth. A man of fire like Elijah literally enjoys confrontation. Every time there is a confrontation with the forces of darkness, it tears inside him what he carries. Every time there is a demonic confrontation, every time there is an occultic confrontation, every time there is a witchcraft confrontation, the anointing in him begins to boil. That was what happened to David when he saw Goliath and everybody was quiet and silent, but something inside him began to boil. A man on fire does not know how to turn away for challenges. He doesn't know how to turn his back on challenges, on battles. He doesn't know how to turn his back. He is like a lion. The Bible described in Proverbs chapter 30 and in verse 31, the lion is the strongest among the beasts and he turneth not away for nothing. He turns not away for nothing. The man, the woman on fire, he does not know how to turn away from challenges. The man on fire is not interested in pleasing people. He is interested in pleasing God. He will do what he does, and it doesn't matter who is displeased. As far as God is pleased, he is not interested in pleasing people. He is interested in pleasing God. In other words, he is not going to please people and displease God. In other words, for him it is better God is pleased and everybody is displeased than for God to be displeased and somebody is pleased. This is the real brutal man on fire. He is not interested in pleasing people. He is interested in pleasing God. The man on fire is not addicted to human approval.
There are people that are addicted to human approval. Everything everybody say means something to them, you know. You see, what are people saying? And am I okay? Am I preaching well? It's addicted to human approval. But the guy on fire is not addicted to human approval. He is not human opinion dependent. It doesn't care. It doesn't care what the man feels or what the man is saying. As long as he does the will of God, that is the man on fire. And that is the man that this generation is looking for today. He will say the right thing, irrespective of whose ox is God. He will say the right thing. He will do the right thing, irrespective of whose ox is God. And I'd like you to hear this. A man on fire does not operate by consensus. He operates by conviction. There is a difference between consensus and conviction. There are many people, many pastors and ministers that operate by consensus. This is what everybody say. This is what everybody is doing, and that is what they are doing. But the guy on fire for God operates by conviction. Am I speaking to somebody here today? What God thinks, what God feels about him matters more than what man feels or what man thinks. The man on fire, this fearless risk taker, is a man that is equal to emergencies. Equal to emergencies. he does not try to get ready. He lives ready. Equal to emergencies. Equals to emergencies. And that is the Elijah kind of person. And many times, and I'm going to come to this later on in this preaching and teaching, but many times this guy is on one side and the multitude is on the opposite side. Many times, when a man is on fire for God in his generation, many times he is on one side and the multitude is on the opposite side, but it doesn't matter. When a man is always looking for what pleases people and always struggling to be on the side of the multitude and always struggling for the consensus, that man is a man that is in need of fire. Hallelujah. The third thing I'd like you to know about this man of fire, the third thing, every man of fire is restless. He is restless with a high degree of urgency. When a man is on fire, when a pastor is on fire, he is restless with a very high degree of urgency. Fire makes a man restless with a high degree of urgency. He is not a time waster. He is not given to procrastination. Like I said yesterday, when you see a man dragging his feet about everything, that man is in short supply of the fire of the Holy Ghost. When you see a man indecisive, does not have the capacity to take decisions, and does not act on time, this guy is lacking in the fire of the Holy Ghost. But when you see a man in whose bones there is fire, there is a high degree of restlessness and urgency. Not a time waster, not giving to time wastage, and does not have time for time wasters. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? For this guy, the distance between the idea and the action is very slim. When you see a man on fire, he is not given to over-analysis. There are those who analyze a thing until it ends in paralysis. He is not given to overanalysis. A man on fire will achieve more in one day than some people achieve in one year. There is a restlessness and urgency. A man on fire will achieve more in one year than some people achieve in a lifetime. A man on fire, what he achieves in one lifetime, if you give some people 1,000 lifetimes, they can achieve it. Why? He has a high degree of urgency. He has a high degree of restlessness. No one, Bible says, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. Relaxing in Zion. Patient, just settled in Zion. Woe unto them that are at ease. And today, I want to prophesy into your spirit a degree of restlessness, a degree of fervency, a degree of agitation, a degree of urgency that will cause you to fulfill your destiny. I take authority over every spirit of procrastination, every indecisive spirit. I arrest you today. I command you, loose your grip on the spirits of these people. If you believe that, say loud amen. If you believe that, say louder amen. If you believe that, say the Lord must amen. Am I speaking to somebody here? Elijah, the man of fire, had the hand of God upon his head, and this man began to run until he ran faster than a chariot that started before him. That is what I mean by when a man is on fire, you overtake those who started before you. When the fire of the Holy Ghost is on your life, you overtake those who started before you. You overtake your enemies, and you overtake the systems of the world. Everything that is making you to drag your feet must die in this place. Everything that is making you to be sluggish in life and sluggish in ministry must die in this place. Everything that is making you to be sluggish in your business, it must die here. We're going to pray. When you see a man on fire, he's unusually time conscious. A person that has no value for time is suffering from firelessness. A man, a woman that has no value for time, he can waste people's time in church. He doesn't value his own time. He's not time conscious. This guy is suffering from firelessness. A man on fire knows that he doesn't have eternity to fulfill destiny. A man on fire knows that the stage does not belong to him forever. A man of fire knows that there is a time for every purpose under heaven. Am I speaking to somebody here? People, no, I want you to understand, for example, that you don't have the same energy you have now. On Sunday, I had preached three services in the morning, and then I had a meeting to preach by 6 o'clock somewhere else, and then I had a dedication of our church in Maraba to preach in our church there, and that was like five preachings in one day, and the Saturday was like that, and the Friday I came from the vigil to do all these things, and then I kept on, and one of our pastors said, "The Lord is your strength. How are you combining all these things and doing all these things?" And I told him, the energy we have now, we won't have it forever. The energy you have now, you won't have it forever. The strength you have now, you won't have it forever. The vigor you have now, you won't have it forever. The favor you have now may not be there forever. The opportunities you have now, you may not have it forever. So you know that God has given you a stage for a season, and you must play your role maximally. Am I speaking to somebody here? When the act drama, people come to the stage, and when they have finished playing their role, they leave the stage. Another person comes to the stage. When he finishes his role, he leaves the stage. When a man is on fire, he realizes that he does not have the stage forever. Are you hearing what I am saying here? So every time he steps on the stage, he makes sure he deploys his potential. He makes sure he gives out his best. He makes sure he blasts very well. He makes sure he fires up very well, because he knows that the opportunity he has now, he doesn't have it forever. Take your seat. I was speaking to a football star. You know him, Taribo West. He came from Italy, and when he came into town, he visited me in the office, and we're talking, and he was sharing with me some ideas and visions he has concerning certain things he wanted to do in the sports area. And I looked at him and I said, "If this thing is in your heart, then do it fast." I said, do it fast. I said, because your memory, the memory of who you are and the kind of ball you played, is still fresh in the minds of people. I said, now you can say, Karibu, where so and so, and you invite this and that, and they come for you. I say, in 10 years' time, they won't remember, they won't really remember you now. I said, now your song is fresh in the minds of people. I told him, those olden days footballers like Segun Odebami and so on and so forth, some of them in those days, now if they call for an event, not many people will hearken to them or hear them, because their time has passed, longest time. So when it is your time, when it is your season, when you have the ear of your generation, when you have favor with your generation, when the opportunity is still there for you, if you don't maximize it, you might end as a liability and end in regret. Am I speaking to somebody here? I want you to help me tell three people by your side. Tell them, you don't have this stage forever. You don't have this stage forever. You don't have this stage forever. Are you hearing me at all? There are many pastors that shook Nigeria and shook the world as a whole. May some of them are still alive today, but the shaking is not as it used to be, because life is in faces and men are in sizes. When it is your face, when it is your season, when you realize the potential, when you know you have the ear of your generation, when there is opportunity and there is favor, make sure you maximize your moment so you don't end as a liability. Men of fire are aware that they don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. Are you hearing me here today? And so there is that degree of restlessness. People might be asking you, what is pursuing you? What is pursuing you? What you have achieved, is it not yet enough? What is pursuing you? What do you want? You tell them, I know what is pursuing me. You tell them, I have a time and a season in which I must deploy my potential, in which I must make a mark that cannot be erased, in which I must compel the submission of principalities and powers. I have not yet started. The challenge of young men is that they have time, but they don't know what to do with it. The challenge of old men is that they know what to do, but they don't have the time to do it. The young man has time without knowing what to do. He has time without experience. And the old man has experience. He knows what to do, but he doesn't have the equivalent time to do it. And I think that if you need time, then you try to hook up with somebody who has some degree of experience, so that you don't wait to have experience and then you don't have the time. That is a challenge of our generation. People wait too long. They wait too long to get things done. We wait too long. We wait too long until the fire of the idea dies. We wait too long until the unction dies. We wait too long. We wait too long until the zeal dies. We wait too long. We wait too long until the time and the opportunity fades away. But when a man is a man, is a woman on fire, he does not count on tomorrow. My little child, every time he wakes up in first thing in the morning, those days, he's now more mature, so he understands. He will ask the senior sister, is today tomorrow? And there is a meaning of that statement. He says, is today tomorrow? So I asked the sister, I said, what is he saying? He said, he means to say that last night, the tomorrow he was referring to yesterday. Is it now? isn't what has arrived now? And he still has said, yes, today is tomorrow. That's the first thing in the morning. Is today tomorrow? That is the tomorrow of yesterday I was asking about. Is it what has arrived now? So never count on tomorrow, because tomorrow will always become today. Do you understand what I'm saying? Anything that can be done today, is forget about it. Forget about it. Today, tomorrow does not exist. Tomorrow always gives way for today. So the best time to do what must be done is today. If it can be done totally today, it must be started in some way today. Hallelujah. And so this, you see, I was preaching in Uganda 2 weeks ago at Bishop Kayanja's church, and we're x-raying the woman that poured the alabaster oil on Jesus Christ. And I told the people, I said, people were there before. Men were there seated with Jesus Christ before this woman appeared. None of them did anything. None of them did anything. They were seated looking at Jesus Christ until a woman came and made a difference. She broke the alabaster box and anointed the head of Jesus Christ. That is another subject altogether, because the God who anoints everybody, somebody is now anointing him. But that is another subject altogether. We dealt with that some time ago. But what concerned me was, there was no difference in the place until the woman arrived. Early comers failing to make impact until a late comer came and became the frontliner. Do you understand what I'm saying? What that means to you is, if you are not taking steps, somebody is coming from behind. If in life and in ministry you fail to take steps, you fail to occupy your place, you fail to do what God wants you to do, let it be clear to you that people are coming from behind. And the fact that you parked does not mean oncoming vehicles also parked. It's not. So people are coming from behind you. And if you don't want the tragedy of being overtaken, then if God has given you a frontline position, maintain the position and keep on moving. If you are at the back, don't be discouraged also, because there are some people in front who are resting. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are some people in front who are resting. There are some people in front who have arrived. There are some people who tell, in those days we used to see this kind and that kind of thing. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? And they haven't seen nothing yet. But whatever you do, make sure you are in motion. Say one day in East Africa, a lion wakes up and he makes a decision that he must run faster than the fastest antelope, or else he will die of hunger. An antelope wakes up and he makes up his mind that he must run faster than the fastest lion, or else he will die in the mouth of a lion. The most important thing is not whether you are a lion or you are an antelope. The important thing is, when the day breaks, rise and start running. The lion wants to run faster than the antelope so he doesn't die of hunger. The antelope wants to run faster than the lion so he doesn't die eating up. It is not important whether you are a lion or an antelope. The important thing is, you must be a runner. Whether you are an antelope or a lion, be a runner in order not to end as a tragedy. I
have so much time, so much things. I have so much to do this weekend. I want to rush out this thing so that all of us can go and invest in ourselves and trust God for what to do.
You must run. I don't care how far the journey is from here to South Africa. If there is a road and a vehicle decides to start moving, has enough fuel, is ready for the journey, it may take time, but it will reach there. Yes, sir. Oh no, you don't understand what I'm talking about. As long as he decides to keep on moving, to keep on taking steps, keep on making moves, keep on moving, he must reach there. It may take time, but he must reach there. And that is how life is. That is how destiny is. That which God has in front for you may be far, but if you don't stop moving, no devil can stop you from reaching your destination. Am I speaking to somebody here? This is the characteristic of people on fire. They know that now is the best time to do anything that must be done. Bishop Abioye said, what you are thinking of doing, today is getting too late. He said, yesterday was the best time. Tomorrow, impossible. You understand what I'm talking about? Restlessness. We have too much ease. You have a sanctuary that takes 100 people. That sanctuary is filled. And you have one or two seats outside. And then you have arrived. And everybody say, daddy, daddy, mommy, mommy. And then you have arrived. You have arrived. Millions are passing the road where you are to hell. And you have arrived. There are raw manifestations of God you haven't seen. And yet you say you have arrived. I don't think that gospel without power is gossip. I call it gossip. Where gospel is without power is gossip. There are manifestations of God we haven't seen. There are dimensions of God we haven't seen. There are people that need to sit in the church and can fear catches them and they break down crying for their sin. We haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen creative miracles, amputated legs growing out. We haven't seen constructive miracles in great dimension, and people sit down satisfied. I have a good car. I have a good house. No, sir. No, sir. I'm going to be coming to some things today. And I am believing that, there is a time comes when, you see, motion happens when the object reacts against the ground. That is when, there's nothing like friction other than the reaction of the object against the ground where it stays. Reaction. There is a reaction. You see, now if the ground is slippery and there is no such reaction, you can't move forward. But the solidity of the ground causes you to react against the ground, and then you move forward. And that is what produces progress in life. Reaction against your present situation is what establishes your future. Reaction, aggressive reaction against your current status, reaction against your present location, reaction against the present situation of things, reaction against the present establishes the future. Acceptance of the present eliminates the future. Some people say somebody grew old. Nobody grows old. You don't grow and old. Grow and old, they don't go together. Who has grown old? No. Nobody grows old. As long as you continue to grow, you can never age. let me tell you. But nobody grows old, but people get old when they stop growing. That was the mystery of the old prophet in Bethel. It was not necessarily old age of years, but being outdated in ministry. The old prophet was in Bethel, and God sent the man of God from Judah. How can you be the territorial prophet in your territory, and God has an assignment for that territory, and he has to send somebody from another territory to come and do your job in your territory, except that you are outdated? Do you understand? That is possible. No, I got angry some time ago. I said, does it mean if a healing evangelist does not come into town, people can't be healed? Does it mean if a major apostle and prophet does not come into town, some miracles must not take place? That devil is a bastard. He said, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and on scorpions and over every power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He didn't say whether you are a prophet or a pastor. How can I be in the land and God bypasses me to send somebody from another land to carry out an assignment I am here to carry out?
Got angry. I thank the Lord for all the healing ministries and all the apostolic ministries and deliverance ministries, but I made up my mind.
Unless somebody comes, the stadium should not be filled. Unless somebody comes from out of town, the square should not be filled. That devil is a liar. That is why you are in that city. That is why you are in that location. Are you hearing what I am saying here today? Amen. Amen. By the time I finish this preaching, I want you to be sufficiently provoked. If the building does not reject you, reject it. Are you hearing what somebody said? There must be a rejection. You are too small to carry us now. Either you multiply the services, or you extend the building, or you get your land by any means.
Apart from sin.
Hallelujah. But hear this. Restlessness. Fire. Restlessness is a characteristic of fire. Urgency. Urgency. I knew John Wesley said one time that somebody was taking his time, and he looked at his wristwatch and he said, what? I have lost 10 minutes forever. I have lost 10 minutes forever. John Wesley. I have lost 10 minutes forever.
The man asked him, John Wesley, don't be in a hurry. He said, hurry? I don't have the time to be in a hurry. I am faster than hurry.
John Wesley, and you needed to know how he affected his generation. Almost 300 years ago, 79,000 people, when there were not much people on earth. Now that the land is overpopulated, how many people has your life affected?
Sermons over the period of 60 years. Woke up every day 4 a.m. for over 60 years.
This is how you know people. People that
one guy called John Gillick went into South Africa. How many of you have heard of John Gillick? The man who prayed for a crippled horse to walk. Crippled horse. Not somebody carrying work. It's a crippled horse. Horse broke his leg, cannot walk. The owner wanted to shoot it so that the horse dies and stop agony. The man said, no. Let me pray for the horse. God, who can heal man, can heal horse.
He prayed and the bones of the horse was reconnected.
It was that same John Gillick that prayed for a man who was born with a deformed head, a triangular shaped head, for encephaly. He laid hands on the head and the head adjusted in shape under his hand. What have you seen that you are resting? It was the same John Lake that was in a crusade, and they brought a man who had accident and his eyeball scattered. And they brought the man, he laid the hands on the head of the man and began to pray, and the particles of the eye that scattered on his face began to pull together until an eyeball was formed under his eyes. It was John G. Lake's disciple, Edward Lyons, that sat on a stone commanded lepers to sit on it who were leprous. And 89 lepers sat on that stone and they were healed. He didn't touch them. When you are in touch and in tune, and the Bible says the endless expectation of creature waited for the manifestations of God, and the Bible says the heavens must hold Jesus Christ until the time of the restoration of all things, which means the restoration of apostolic power, the restoration of prophetic signs and wonders as it used to be, and now we are seated and relaxing. It was the same John Gillick that planted 625 churches in 5 years. How much? 625 churches in how many years? An average of 125 churches per year in South Africa. 125 white congregations, 500 native congregations. Within 5 years, he set the place on fire. You see, it takes a man on fire to set a generation on fire. What you don't have, you can't give. Peter says, silver and gold I have not, but such as I have, I give unto you. It is what you carry that you release upon your generation. Hallelujah. Let us go on. People of fire, the third thing I said, they are restless movers with a very high degree of urgency. Number four, and I enjoy this one. Number four, every man or woman on fire is a man that is highly catabolic. Catabolism. Highly catabolic, highly destructive. That is what it means. In chemistry, there are two kinds of reactions: anabolic reactions and catabolic reactions. Anabolic reactions build up, catabolic reactions destroy. A man on fire is highly acidic. Very toxic, very lethal to the kingdom of darkness. That was the Elijah kind of person. And there is nothing constructive about fire. It has a destructive nature. A man on fire is intolerant of enemies. I'm talking specifically about demons right now. A man on fire, a person on fire, is very quick tempered with the forces of darkness. Very quick tempered. Very quick tempered with the forces of darkness. He has very little patience with affliction. If, brothers and sisters, if you are not at the point where you are, where you have such a palpable hatred for Satan and a palpable hatred for the works of darkness, you need fire. I mean to say that you come to a point where under your belly, inside, there is such a degree of hatred, such a degree of animosity, such a degree of bitterness against the devil. You are jealous for God against the devil. Jealous for God against the devil.
If I be a man of God, let fire fall. Some people will say, why is the man killing people like that? God is the one answering him to kill the people. Or did he manufacture the fire himself? God had him to kill the people. 102 people died on the spot. 102 people died on the spot. He slaughtered 850 people. Slaughtering. Slaughtered 800. I don't know how God handled the law, thou shalt not murder, in that case.
I don't know. I don't know how he handled it. But God validated. He validated him. He validated him so much that he took him to heaven bodily. He took him to heaven bodily. Took him. He escaped death. He said, this guy is so audacious that death should not mess him up. I
head of a U.S. president, Theodore Roosevelt, they said the guy was so audacious. If you look for his trouble, you say, let them fight it out physically. Can we fight out as a president? When he died, they said, it's only in death he could have died. He died in his sleep. They say it's only in his sleep that he could have died. That if he was awake when death came, he would have fought it. Those are the people that shake the world. You know Napoleon Bonaparte? When France was under oppression, they were looking, who will bail us out? He said, he see me. Stood out. Delivered France. As a cadet, he was asked the question. They said, supposing you have a fight to fight, the enemy is on the other side, you are on this side, you have your men. Your food is exhausted, you have nothing to eat. What will you do? He said, I won't mind if there is food on the enemy side. That's right. I will go to the other side, kill them and take the food. I won't mind if food is on the other side. God is looking for brutal men, violent in the spirit, ferocious. When you hear their prayer, you see ferocity. When you hear their prayer vocabulary, you see ferocity. When you see when they look at Jesus, they said, behold, what authority by which he casted out demons. What force? He told his disciples, in my name, cast out devils. That cast out is ancient English. The modern English said, in my name, kick out demons. Cast out. Cast out. Throw out. It's another synonym. Throw it. Throw them out. It was not a gentle language. There are those playing with demons and pampering demons. And what is your name? How many are you? When did you come here? Talking and negotiating. You are the one that has time. We are 6,000. We have been here for 2,000 years. Tell me more about your history. Ask him a liar to tell you the truth. You see, in the modern day church, we have a lot of sinners enter the church and satanic agents enter the church and they feel nothing. They feel nothing. You see, in a real church, a satanic agent must enter and feel that he has stepped somewhere. When people who visit the herbalist, they know that when you enter the house of a real herbalist, the atmosphere is different. That's what I'm talking about. Men of fire can't coexist with oppression. They can't coexist with darkness. They can't coexist with the forces of hell. If God has placed you as a pastor, a leader in your city, in your town, in your village, then you must accept responsibility to deal with the forces of darkness in that territory. Hallelujah. Gentility is a major foundation for calamities. Normality, neutrality assist adversities. Those who are patient many times end up as patients. You know, many patients are very patient. Because before the drip can go through your hand for 6 hours, you have to be patient to lie there. They told one man, they said, get ready because you are about to die. He told the doctor, say, and I should leave my wife and children for who? I'm not dying. Hello. He's asking the doctor, and I should leave my wife and children for who? As if it's the doctor that brought the sickness.
And he did not die. Because he says, I've placed before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, that both you and your seed shall live. Likapakoya galagarata setafedo. Lika koko babarita sefetesili. Lefeto sopapapa. I am going to trust the Lord today for a very, very brutal, very, very aggressive, very, very violent spirit imparted in our lives today. I am going to trust the Lord that people will leave this meeting and humiliate witches and wizards.
Hear this. A real fire minister is the one that steps into town and the witches close shop.
And the wizards close shop. And the fortune tellers close shop. Are you hearing what I'm saying yet? There are some of you hearing the sound of my voice. The days of your manifestation, which is now, shall be the days of the manifestation of the agents of darkness. In the name of Jesus.
One man came to our vigil one time.
This man had been living with a woman for about 8 years.
And the woman is neither a person nor a devil. Doesn't know who this woman is. Didn't marry her.
And this woman had a physical altar in the bedroom. This woman disappears and appears at will. And he was hooked up to the man by force.
You can't leave me and disappear and meet you on the road where you are going.
Hear me.
And there are many of them like that. There are many people like that because, and I'm coming back to this story, because a man saw a lady at the junction here, front of the junction here. And he wanted, where are you going? He said, he's going into this place. He wanted to give the lady a lift. She entered the vehicle. As they came and they were passing, before they could come to the gate of this church around the entrance, the lady said, I want to come down. The man said, why? She said, I want to come down. Come down to go to where? She said, I am going back to hell. The man said, what? She said, I say I'm going back to hell. The man dropped his head as if he didn't hear well. He lifted up his head. Phew. She has disappeared. Back to hell. It was a demon in human flesh. If people have seen angels in human flesh, demons in human flesh are plenty. Am I speaking to somebody here? Demon in human flesh. And the man ran to the church. He has never been here before. When he looked and saw this is a church, he just ran in and said, help me, I just saw Satan. I just saw devil. Help me. I just saw devil.
The same day, his car caught fire. The same day. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today?
In an occasion, ministers gathered. It was a celebration occasion. And people were serving. They were serving food. Some young people were serving.
And one pastor who had fire, he was different from the rest, looked at one lady there and said, this one is not a person. Stood up, said, who are you? Who are you? She disappeared. If not that one was there today, Satan himself would have served people food. That is why we need men and women on fire in our generation. Supposing Peter was not around, Ananias and Sapphira would have gone free, but there was a man on fire who roasted both of them.
There are demons in human flesh. I was telling a story before I went to the other one. Demons. Yes, that man. So he came for a vigil. The woman disappears and appears at will. He came to a vigil here.
in a vigil many years ago. And he encountered fresh fire. He returned back home. The woman saw him coming and began to reverse. Where are you coming from? What fire is all over you? Where are you coming from? She packed her things. The more he went closer, the more she went backward. Where are you coming from? She packed her things and disappeared. Today, I prophesy upon you. All the comfortable demons sitting comfortably in your church, all the comfortable agents of darkness who have been comfortable around your life, around your family, around your destiny, in this season they shall be roasted. They shall be roasted. They shall be roasted. Somebody shout yes. Shout yes. Shout fire. Shout fire.
Look at your neighbor. Say, you need the fire. You must acquire the fire.
Sit down. I believe that after this meeting is over, demons will advertise you to each other. They say, don't near that man. Don't near that woman. Don't near that girl. Don't near that family. Don't get close to them. Don't get near. Because there is something they have. There is something they carry. There is something on their lives. Do you believe that? Place your right hand on your chest. A heart on fire, Lord. The heart of a volcano. The heart of a lion. I ask for it today. Oh, the Elijah kind of heart. A catabolic heart. I ask for it today. In the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus.
I'm talking about you come to a point where what comes out of your mouth, the Bible says they speak with tongues of fire. What comes out of your mouth is fire that is fire that is clothed with words clothed with fire. It penetrates. The disciples on the road to Emmaus, what did they say? While he spake to us, did not our hearts burn within us? Do you understand? While he spake to us, did not our heart burn within us? What was he speaking? It was words with letters of fire. Words with alphabets of fire that he was speaking. It penetrated the hearts of the people who heard him. And when such words can go on, hear this. When there is a demon inside the body, it encounters the same fire. When there is anything that the Father in heaven has not planted inside the life of a person, it encounters the same fire.
Firelessness equals uselessness. When a man is fireless, he's useless. Useless in ministry. Useless in the assignment of God. When a person is fire is uselessness. Firelessness is uselessness. Firelessness is fruitlessness. Firelessness is favorlessness.
Can fire burn a person and is not aware?
Fire is the reason for impact. You make a mark with fire. You make it when you are engulfed with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Your mark, the mark you make cannot be erased.
Let us take it one step further. We'll soon pray. Number five, people on fire are people aglow. Aglow. People are glow. They are aglow. They are lighted up. People on fire are people.
people fully lighted. Fully lighted. See a man, a woman, a minister on fire. He is fully lighted. His life is well lit.
They don't dwell in the realm of darkness and confusion. There are three main characters you will know about people on fire. The first character of these people, they are glowing, they are lit up. The first character is that they have a high degree of sensitivity and receptivity. Sensitivity, receptivity is high. Their awareness in the spirit realm is high. They are not embedded in darkness. See, when your fire level increases, your revelation in the spirit realm increases. Your sensitivity increases. Your receptivity increases. The fire, the activity of the Holy Ghost on your life increases your sensitivity, increases your receptivity. You come to a point where the devil begins to find it hard to take you by surprise. Bible says, when the blind lead the blind, all of them fall into the ditch. The pastor is not seeing, the people are not seeing. The pastor is insensitive, the people are not receptive. What a destiny. Do you understand what I'm talking about?
Paul said, in the night, a man stood by me and he said,
come to Macedonia and help us. I wanted to go to Troas, I was forbidden. I wanted to go to Mysia, I was forbidden. Then in the night, a man said, come to Macedonia and minister to us. Supposing he didn't see that man, and he didn't hear that voice. So many people today are ministering in Mysia instead of Macedonia, because they didn't see the man in the night. Many people today are ministering in Mysia instead of Macedonia because they didn't see the messenger at night. Where you go, when you go where God has not sent you, you pay your bills. When you go where God has not sent you, you pay your bills. You pay your own fare. The gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. You may see one or two signs and wonders, but you pay essentially your bills. You hear what I'm saying here today? Oh. Sensitivity, receptivity. Oh God, deliver us from ministering in darkness. Deliver us from ministering in insensitivity. Deliver us from trying to deliver people without seeing the way ourselves. When Paul went to Macedonia, the whole city was under the siege of the spirit of Python by the little girl that was she was the headquarter of the Macedonian principality. You remember that little girl that followed them about and said, these are the servants of the Most High God. And then after 3 days, Paul casted her out, and the whole city was in uproar. Why will a city be in uproar because of one little girl? It was a principality that was dealt with. You understand what I'm talking about? God called you to handle principalities, and you are there handling small agent of darkness. Why? Because you were not sensitive to see the messenger at night. He came, but you didn't see him. Trust in the Lord. You see, a lot of people, you see a man highly gifted, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophetic anointing, can teach, he can preach. Yet, nobody is there. He has integrity, he is upright. Nobody is hearing him. Is God a waster? Will he invest so much and then it is wasted? It's most likely God wanted him to go to the widow of Zarephath And he went to the widow in Galilee. And if God has not sent you to your location, you will never find your location there. You understand what I'm talking about?
Lighted up. When a guy, a man, has fire, that was the character of Paul the Apostle. You saw it with Peter. He was sensitive. He picked it up on the spot. He was praying in the middle of the day. All of a sudden, he saw a sheet coming down, and he saw four-footed beast, and God said, I'm sending you to the Gentiles.
That was how those people moved. They didn't move by copyright. They didn't move by what did they preach today? Let me try and preach it. They didn't move by what is a popular program in town now. People are doing what others are doing. Doing what they think will please somebody. People are trying to preach people happy. And I am going to come to that in a short moment. There are some people throughout this year, pastors, he has not heard the voice of God once on this is what to tell the people. Once. What a tragedy. Jesus Christ was the cross in John chapter 12. I believe that was verse 29 thereabout. And he said, Father, glorify yourself. And the Father said, a voice came from heaven, said, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. And those who stood by said, it thundered. One person heard a clear voice. Other people heard thunder. See what I'm saying? For the whole of this year, some churches have been hearing thunder. Because the pastor didn't come with a voice. That is the first thing. When a man is on fire, he's aglow. The other thing you will know about being lit up or being lighted is when you are on fire, you are not. A man on fire is heavy on insight. The Bible becomes an open book when the man carries fire. My wife bought me one light, a reading light. You put it on your ear like this. And then it comes like this to the front like this, okay? So it illuminates what you are reading. And the reason why it's like this is anywhere you are, you turn your head. The light follows you to flood the book. That is how a person is. If you are lighted, when you open this book, the book opens for you. I have seen people who have never, they have never seen any original anything out of this book themselves. I know of a man who came here, bought some of our tapes, went to his place and preached it, which is not a problem. But now he transcribed what he preached that was a reprophesying from here and said it is a book. His own book. With his name as author. Hear this. You come here, pick up tapes, stand up. You are not the one, I'm just saying. You come here, pick up tapes, listen to it, and then preach the tape word for word. And then carry what you have re-prophesied and turn it into a book and say you are the author. You understand what I'm saying? I have seen people who have never been able to sit down, and God opens their eyes to see something from this book. I've seen people who are only looking for what to preach. They are not looking for word for their life. When a man is connected with the fire of this Holy Spirit, this book opens. It opens, you'll be amazed. You can pick up one verse and be unable to exhaust it for a whole month. The book is so open, the depth, the insight that is practical to your own life.
And then out of the overflow of your own life, it becomes a blessing to your generation.
When a man is on fire, he becomes himself a generational light. Somebody say generational light.
Yes, sir. He becomes a generational light. When you are on fire, you are a generational light.
Is to say, without struggling, without advertising, you are naturally a role model.
You are naturally, you didn't beg anybody. You are not trying to impose yourself on anybody, but you are a pace setter, a front line. You are a role model. You are an opinion leader. You are a direction